This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
It is February 1st here at Gillette Stadium. Welcome to another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast brought to you by Sullivan Tire. And as we predicted last week, the moves are not so bountiful this time of year as the rest of the world is preparing to watch the Super Bowl and the Harbaugh Bowl and the Harbaugh family and all that, or dealing with the deer antler spray and the Ray Lewis saga or whatever you're interested in this week. Patriots did make a couple minor moves. First of all, today they made official the signing of Armin Armstead, the defensive tackle pass rusher out of the CFL and USC. And another player from north of the border, or, well, recently of north of the border, but prior to that was actually a local boy out of Massachusetts and Northeastern University. Jason Vega has reportedly reached a deal with the Patriots. Paul Perillo is our resident Northeastern rump swab, and he remembers quite fondly the days when Jason Vega was dominating on the fields of Northeastern. So I'll allow Paul to describe this guy who's been described by some reporters as a Ninkovich type. Tell us more.
I could see the Ninkovich comparison. I hadn't read that. But, yeah, definitely a defensive and outside linebacker type, tall, lanky, 6'4", maybe 255, somewhere in that neighborhood. Good athlete, good motor. Definitely, at Northeastern, at the 1AA level, at the FCS level, whatever they call it nowadays, was a good, solid player. I made a comment to you. I never, ever thought of him as a potential NFL player. And, you know, I know you always make fun of me for going to those games in the first place, but there are often a handful of guys on either team that you do think of in that way. You say, well, if this guy gets in the right situation or that guy gets a shot, you know, he's a practice squad guy. I never really thought of Vega. I thought Vega coming in, he came out of Brockton, Massachusetts, which were people outside of this area. Brockton is a storied high school football town. A very big town in Massachusetts, almost always in the thick of things. He had a very good career there. He was a pretty highly sought-after player at the Division I level. I'm not sure if he got much interest. I'm guessing he didn't get much interest from the high, you know, the 1As, and that's why he ended up at Northeastern. And listen, he's a good player. He was fairly productive as a Husky. He had 41 sacks in 41 games. So, he could get some stuff done on the edge. I think he's a long shot to make the roster. Played 2 years with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Andy Hart. I know that you break down a lot of Blue Bomber tape. Is that right?
Yes. I like blue. I
think he had 12 sacks in 2 years. So he made an impact north of the border, as you like to say. Interesting signing. Another guy to add into the depth of potential backup pass rushers with Armstead and now Vega. You know, who knows if Trevor Scott will be back. He's a free agent. Justin Francis seemed like he came on in that regard last year. So it looks like they're sort of stocking up on guys that might be able to rush the passer in a reserve role.
And just to kind of compare and contrast him to Armstead, Armstead younger, obviously coming out of USC, more talented. Vega's going to be, I believe, 26 in training camp or sometime this summer.
That's correct.
That's kind of the tail end of your living off your potential and just, you know, you're not really an NFL player at that point. So
he'd have to come in and wow someone,
yeah,
I think, to make the roster.
More than likely just a camp body who will be out of work at the end of training camp. But you never know. He's an intriguing story just for the Canadian background. Now, you're an expert on Canadian
Everything.
Football. How do you think the transition from a game where the defensive linemen are a yard off the ball will affect him as he gets used to NFL action?
Yeah, you know, I saw some quotes from some of the executives in the CFL talking about that. It's just, you know, more space. Stuff like that. Listen, I'm not an expert. I don't know how that's going to affect guys. Does that allow you to get a quicker step without having to engage as a pass rusher, Andy? You know, maybe you would know more about that. You know, if you're off the line, does that allow you to maybe get the edge?
I'll tell you what allows you to get the edge. The offensive linemen aren't as good.
Well, and that's the other thing that I saw. One of the executives said, don't forget, talking about Armstead, I think he was going against offensive linemen that would be, you know, undrafted free agents
right.
Here. So that's, you know.
And I'm not saying it can't happen, that a guy can't be good. I mean, we've seen it with Cameron Wake.
We know it can happen.
Cameron Wake dominated the CFL, was a two-time defensive player of the year, put up ridiculous numbers. It's going to be something special for a guy to come in. But, you know, a guy like Armstead has the potential coming from USC and everything he did there. So we'll see. Another move this week that was announced, and a good source on this. I have a source that told me that Dane Fletcher has re-signed with the Patriots, set to be a restricted free agent. Of course, that source was Dane Fletcher.
Oh, you're willing to go public with that source?
Yes,
because I wasn't willing to go out there on a limb.
I feel like if he puts it on Twitter, it's somewhat out there already. But Dane Fletcher, after missing all of last year with a torn ACL, actually missed 22 games over the last two seasons due to injury, had a thumb issue the year before. A guy as a sort of a reserve, has carved out a nice niche for himself, former college defensive lineman who made the transition. Everybody remembers or may remember Bill Belichick kind of comparing him to Teddy Bruschi in that transition to inside linebacker, and, you know, a good special teamer. Be interesting to see what he has coming off the ACL injury and not playing a lot of football over the last 2 years, but certainly a nice competitive body. And I would argue probably a more competitive defender than, say, Tracy White, who's had to take the field over the last year and a half or so on defense.
Yeah.
Dane Fletcher looked like maybe he was more competitive in a defensive role than some of those other guys, you know, that they've put out there, the special teams types that have had to play defense.
I agree, and that's one area that I think that he looked like he was getting a lot of reps in during training camp before he went down, obviously, with the injury, and one area that a lot of people have talked about lacking, coverage ability with the linebackers. So I think you're right.
Yep.
I think he's more competitive in that area than anybody else that they've had on the roster. He was set to be a restricted free agent, I believe, right? Yeah. So, you know, he's locked up. He'll be back, and he'll be pretty much a full year removed from that ACL injury when camp comes on, almost a full year by the time.
It doesn't matter anymore in the post-Adrian Peterson era.
So, you know, he should be ready to go come training camp.
And as I teased last week, I did want to just get quickly into the draft picks as we start to go in that direction. You know, we'll obviously be talking about free agency moving forward.
We have some.
Franchise tenders. Yes, we do have some draft picks. We actually have five draft picks. A first, number 29th overall. A second, a third, and 2/7. The 4th, 5th, and 6th round picks were lost or sent away in the Aqib Talib, Albert Hainsworth, Chad Ochocinco trade. So the Patriots, Bill Belichick, has 5 picks. A little bit of a hole in the middle of his draft. We know he doesn't necessarily like that. Never know if there could be moves leading up to the draft, maybe trades of veterans to get some draft picks. We've seen that with guys like Ellis Hobbs in the past, where he's acquired, you know, mid-round type picks for veterans. Be interesting to see how he handles that. But as of right now, does not have his usual bounty of picks on draft weekend to work with if he wanted to move up. And a lot of pessimists in New England already thinking that he's going to trade down out of the first round, give up that 29th pick to try to add some picks in the middle of the draft.
I don't think that.
Certainly a possibility.
You pointed at me.
You're a pessimist.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to trade down out of the first round.
No, you think they'll pick up picks by unloading Brady because he's not very good anymore.
No,
that's a topic for another day.
I think they'll move down, just not with the first
round. On PFW in Progress, Paul, if you want to hear him talk about the Brady decline and those topics, he's here each and every Tuesday and Thursday, noon to 2.
If you want to hear Andy predict how the Patriots will go 6-10, you can get him
every Friday for a Patriots.com roster report podcast. Until next week, when we'll have some more scintillating talk, potentially of the team's 18 unrestricted free agents, as free agency comes around the corner and the franchise tag deadline looms. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart, and those ominous bells mean another Patriots.com roster report podcast by Sullivan Tire is in the books. Peace out.
This has been the Sullivan Tire Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Bridgestone Tires, available in over 60 Sullivan Tire locations across New England. Visit SullivanTire.com/Bridgestone today.